From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Have you started browsing the incoming seed catalogs yet, or clicking around their websites looking to see if the 2023 lineups have been unveiled? Today's guest, Lane Selman, is always on the lookout for exceptional varieties of edibles, particularly those with an Italian flair. We'll do some virtual seed shopping with her in just a moment and learn about some distinctive edibles and unusual seed sources you may not have tried. But first, this message.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top-quality spring-blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
Lane Selman, an agricultural researcher at Oregon State University, is founder of the Culinary Breeding Network, a collaborative community of plant breeders, seed growers, farmers, produce buyers, and chefs, aiming together to improve quality in vegetables and grains by creating, identifying, and promoting more desirable cultivars, especially organic ones. She's got some suggestions for our 2023 gardens, and I'm glad to welcome her back to the program today. Hi, Lane, how are you?
Great. Thank you. I'm fine. I'm wonderful today.
I see on your Instagram that you're just back from another trip to Italy.
Yes. It's a little embarrassing. Yes, I've been in Italy several times this year. I'm very grateful to have been able to do that. I've been leading a project where we work on radicchio, and we're learning from Italian breeders and seed growers and farmers about how to better grow radicchio and get better seed sources for farmers and gardeners here in the United States.
And is that like the beginning of the Gusto Italiano, is that what it's called, project? Is that the
Yeah, that we started the, it was like another like side shoot of this project. This project really is to get a lot of information that we can talk about also that is out there for farmers and gardeners now. But I started meeting some breeders and seed growers over there and did start this Gusto Italiano project with a company called Smarties.bio over in Chioggia, Italy, which is a similar latitude to where I live in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon. And he's a young guy who has been breeding radicchio for about probably 15 years. And he had seed sources there. They were very difficult to get here. So formed a partnership with Uprising Seeds that's in Bellingham, Washington, that we've talked about before in the past.
Yes.
And they sell, and Uprising Seeds sells the Smarties seeds here in North America.
Oh, okay. So that's where we get. And actually, Brian Campbell from Uprising, he and I did last year. We all collaborated on a New York Times garden column. And then he and I did a podcast about some of the radicchios and sort of what the, because there's such a diversity, what some of the sort of easier quote unquote ones are to get started with and how to. And I can give a link with the transcript of the show to that interview for people who want more detail. Is it just going to be, is Gusto Italiano, is it other crops as well? Or
other crops as well. It's a wide variety of radicchio. And then there's brassicas that are culturally important and have been like kind of heirlooms that have been grown in the Veneto in Italy as well. There's one called Fiolaro, which is a little bit like Spigarello or like broccoli leaf. It's a, like a sweet kale. There's one called Broccolo di Bassano, which is a very small cauliflower where you eat the cauliflower head as well as the leaves around it. And then there's a couple of cabbages. We have that right now. We have added a storage tomato called Anarita. So some people might be familiar with the types of tomatoes that are grown mostly in the southern part of Italy, where you grow the tomatoes and harvest them, but they hold for like 6 months. And
oh,
you see them
kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like hung like on ristas, you know, like you would peppers. And you know, completely amazing. They eat them fresh. You could cook them if you wanted to as well. And they also do well with in a dry farm setting, so without irrigation.
So when you say ristas, you're saying, so is it like they're hanging, they're still on the vine, so to speak, but that's been cut, so they're in a cluster, or what
they
does that
cut
mean?
Them, they're on their trusses, and they cut right. them, and they use a string that they then, you know, hang them from one another. I right. can send you some photos of them, and they're absolutely beautiful.
So I was going to say, you know, ahead of our conversation, I was thinking about how much of my vegetable garden, not really even intentionally, but just how much of our American vegetable gardens is Italian inspired, really. You know, we have our basils, and we have our tomatoes, and our eggplants, and our peppers, and, you know, things, ingredients that we would use in that cuisine or many other cuisines. You know, my favorite parsley is called, yeah, I know I'm going to butcher the name, but, you know, gigante, you know, Italian giant parsley, you know, and the flat leaf parsley, I don't like the curly stuff. And my favorite pole bean from Turtle Tree Seed, Aunt Ada's Italian pole bean. I love that bean, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So much Italian inspiration. When you're over in Italy, you said there's these storage tomatoes, but what is like the, what's the tomato that you see at the market? Do you know what I mean? What's the, like,
yeah. It's very interesting because you actually see these tomatoes that are like, you know, they have like the folds at the top, you know, like that, like the, you know, yes. ribs are like, and those are, and they look ripe, and they are, you know, like they're red, fully, you know, consistently red. And they are the ones that often are used for sauce. So it's completely different than what we have in our head, you know, for that. So that's like a sauce one. And then the ones that they eat fresh, and I want to say also, it depends on where you are. Everything changes, like 5 miles down the road, it's totally different. But one thing that's very interesting is then you see what we would consider like plum or Roma tomatoes that are not actually, they are ripe, but they do not look ripe to us because they still have like the green shoulders and they're not completely red. And they are the ones that they cut up and use as fresh.
Oh, okay.
And they taste fantastic. And it's very confusing as you go to the market. And I was with someone once before and I said, oh, I'm going to get this, you know, for put it on a salad or something. The one that was, you know, the folded like ox heart kind of looking one. And they're like, no, what are you talking about? You would never do that. That one you cook. I'm like, oh, okay. So sometimes it's confusing and it's not what we think. It's
right. Like, right. Right. What we have labeled as the Italian variety.
Right.
So you're going to sort of shout out some goodies. And you were telling me in advance when we kind of prepared for this conversation, you know, that there's some interesting Italian varieties that you don't typically find at the grocery stores in the United States or even farmers markets in some cases. So do you want to, you know, kind
of sure.
pitch a few to us that people might want to scout the catalogs and we'll give them some sources as well?
Yes. And of course, that is radicchio, as we talked about. And I do want to just say that we did write a radicchio zine, and that is a lot of information on growing tips because it can be very confusing and how to grow them, the different types, history, and recipes. And that's all in the Culinary Breeding Network website.
I'll give that link, yes, with the transcript. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Yeah.
So other things that I feel like we don't really see that often in grocery stores or even at farmers markets, one is cima di rapa, which is also called, you know, rapini or broccoli rabe. Those are all the same thing. I think one thing that's the most confusing is these things can be called a lot of different things, and then there's dialect words in different places. So Salerno seeds many years ago, because I was writing about cima di rapa on Instagram, contacted me and said, they're a company that imports seed from Italy, and they're in New York, and they have different days to harvest. I think they have three different ones, maybe 40, 60, and 90 days for cima di rapa that you can grow, and they have garden packages. And I really love cima di rapa. In some people might be like familiar with it that are listening right now, but we have Brassica oleraceae, which is, you know, kale, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, all of these brassicas that we know really well. But then in the turnip family, the turnip species is Brassica rapa. So it has like that turnipy, kind of mustardy, like sharp flavor. And so this is what the true like broccoli rabe or rapini is the cima di rapa. And it's really easy to grow, just direct seed and grow it in your garden. And you could get the 40, 60, or 90 days to harvest from Salerno seeds. And they sent me a lot. I tried it out in my garden. I absolutely loved it.
So Cima di Rapa is C-I-M-A-D-I-R-A-P-A, for those who are just listening and not reading the transcript.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so great to just, I mean, I even put it on put a little toss with a little oil and salt and put it on a roasting pan in the oven or just saute it or whatever, but it's just so delicious and
super easy.
Okay, you know, Salerno. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Salerno seeds is where
I've okay, great.
Had that. Love great. It. I also love so in Italy also, salads are oftentimes arugula, right? And there's two different types of arugula. And the one that I think I like the most, and the one you see there the most often, is like the wild arugula, which is called Salvetta. It's way much stronger, more peppery. I think that this is the most challenging thing, actually. And I was talking to people in Italy about this because we're talking about fennel, and you can't, like, a lot of times we have like the toned down version of all of these things.
Yes.
In the United States. And it's like, no, because a lot of people don't like fennel. They don't like the anise flavor. I love it. It might not be for everyone, but you know, if you're going to eat fennel, you might as well have it really anisey. So I'm always kind of looking for the seed sources that kind of maintain that intense flavor. So the Cima di Rapa, I want the strong flavor of like the turnipy. With the arugula, I want the peppery. I just really love that. So I found that there's one at High Mowing Seeds. There's a couple of companies that have it. But I like that wild arugula. Again, it's called, a lot of times it's called Rocket or Salvetta.
Yeah, and that I noticed in the High Mowing listing that it's more heat tolerant and also more cold tolerant, like than standard arugula. Like it's also a good performer at different ends of the season. So and it doesn't get quite as big, so it grows slowly. So you get a little more time. It doesn't just like shoot up and it's done, you know, kind of thing. So so it's a good one, Salvetta. Okay, good.
And one thing to be conscious of is it can get a little, some of these that I'm mentioning might get a little weedy sometimes. So you know, maybe have it, you know, in a contained area. And again, you know, for me, sometimes I, you know, get busy and I let it go to seed and you know how that goes. So, you know, making sure that you're harvesting it before it goes to seed.
Okay. What's next on the list to look for?
So there's something called, it's chard, it's Swiss chard, but they call it Betola in Italy. And it is, it's different than chard in that it's very flat. It's flat. It's not the Savoy. We have a very Savoy chard here. And also the midrib is pretty large often and oftentimes different colors, which is very striking and beautiful. And I love the chard that we have here. But the Betola is a lot more mild. So I'm going the other way now, mild and sweet. And I had it once I saw it at a farm once, and then we ate it just like cooked with cream and kind of like in a, oh, I'm spacing on the word right now, but it's early morning out here.
That's okay. But with so sauteed in a little bit of cream. So it's just kind of wilted.
Yeah, and like breadcrumbs on top. And it was really delicious. And, you know, because chard can have a very sharp taste to it. So this was like a more mild version of chard.
So the oxalic acid then it backs off. It's not as much it's not forward flavored oxalic acid. Like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's solid green, I think, right? And it's not. And like you say, the rib's not as prominent. So it's,
It's a little smaller. Bit of a boring, you'd be like, oh, this is boring because we have such a striking chard here, you know? But I didn't even realize how much flavor the color in the chard really gives to the plant. And this was just a more mild version of it.
Right. Right. And then I think, does Adaptive, who sells that? Does Adaptive?
Oh, yeah. So Adaptive Seeds has that. Yes. They're out here in Oregon and I saw that on their website. Yes.
Yeah. And they're organic as well, which is great. We'll talk about a little bit more about that later. And so what's next on the list to be scouring the catalogs for?
I know. Okay. This is really exciting. And it's been in this catalog and I didn't know what it was. It's called Sculpit. And this is from Uprising Seeds, And it's a very beautiful looking herb. It produces beautiful flowers in little pods. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I saw it in the catalog many times and didn't think much of it. I never grew it. And then I was in Italy in just this past May. I was with a radicchio grower and we were standing out in a field and it just kind of grows wild there. And they have this, they call it Carletti. There's like a ton of different names for it. And so we're out in the field and he's showing us this thing that grows along with other things. And then we sat down for lunch and they made this risotto. And I have to say, this was the most amazing risotto I ever had. And they always make everything very simple. So it was just risotto with like, you know, this flavor. And I said, what all is going on in here? And it was just green. And they said, oh, it's Carletti. And they're like, it's what it was just in the field. We use this oftentimes in a lot of dishes. And it tastes like tarragon and radicchio and arugula, like all in one. It had so many different layers to this one little plant that was just like a weed there.
And it's a Silene. It's in the genus Silene. I think it's Silene inflata. So people might recognize the little like bladder, like they have like a little I don't know how to explain the shape of the, yeah,
like
of the flower
pod thing, but
yeah so it's closed. A Silene, anyway, people can look it up, a Silene inflata. It's a you know, kind of sows around a wild little thing. But so what do they cut, they don't let it stretch up and bloom, they cut the
right, they use it when it's young,
the young leaves at the base one. I guess
Okay. And then they just used it as an herb, you know, and it just really took, you know, it was the prominent flavor of this risotto. So simple, but absolutely just delicious.
Yeah, it's like these little balloons the flowers are like, and the bees love to go inside the little flowers, you know, so it's like it's a good bee plant too. So that's kind of fun. And if you let it go to flower, you can use the flowers in bouquets. So what's to not love? But again, and Sculpit, Sculpit, is one of the common names, and Uprising Seeds has it. But it's who would have thunk, you know what I mean? It's like you might recognize the flower from other Silenes, but you know, who knew that it was inedible? And there you go. And like you say, it has this distinctive flavor. So sounds great.
I was very excited about the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on to the next candidate.
Okay, so when I was online on the Uprising, I noticed that they had, and under the, you know, the herbs, I noticed that they had a couple of other Italian things that I've grown and really enjoy. And one is borage. And probably most people are familiar with this. It can get weedy. So we have to be careful. We use the, you know, we use the flowers, can be like edible flowers, but the young leaves before they get super, you know, fuzzy, are fantastic. Just eaten plain, you know, cooked or in a salad. I made this, there's a farmer that lives here in Portland, Oregon. She's an urban farmer and also a chef. And I made this little video with her. She asked me to make, she's like, I want to focus on borage. And I thought, that's cool. Cause she's like, I have so much of it in my garden. And we made nudie, and it was absolutely delicious. And since then started using borage more.
And it's got, I mean, the flower is just this, the blue color is just like, whoa. I mean, you can just see that from a mile away. It's really vivid.
Yeah. And it really fancies up a salad. You know, you have friends over and then you go out and that's oftentimes blooming. So you could put that in your salad or on top of, you know, a dessert. I'm like really into making bundt cakes and then just go. And because I'm terrible at making the, like, cakes look good. So a bundt is pretty easy.
Right.
To make look nice. And then I just go out into the garden and I just decorate it with flowers.
Right. Good idea. And boy, the borage ones are just gorgeous. Absolutely. I mean, it is kind of a, you know, it's an easy little plant. And like you say, when you say like they can spread around these plants, what you said earlier about one of the others, and I forget which one it is what we have to not do is let them all go to seed if we want to control them. It's not that, you know, they're just trying to reproduce. It's not, you know, so they're going to sow around. And if you let them do that, and a lot of the herbs are like that, you know, I remember the days gone by when I used to have a lot of, what was it called? It almost looks like basil, but it's not, purple leaf shiso.
Oh, yes.
You know, I would have like a trail of shiso On Perilla, it's called.
Oh, yes.
On the way to the compost heap, like you could see where I had like pulled out the plants and some
Yes.
of them had seed, and I'd walk to the heap back and forth, you know what I mean, to take the dead
Yeah.
plants away. And I'd like planted it in the lawn
Yes.
on the way to the heap. So, you know, we can deal with that by deadheading, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the
Yeah.
bees love, love, love the pollinators love borage.
Yes, it is very attractive to beneficial insects. That's absolutely true. So kind of a fun little thing to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next.
Well, I put mentucha on here, which is a mint.
It's a calamint, right? Like calamintha
exactly.
nepeta or
Yes.
something. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I
Huh.
think Nepetella, I think, is the same thing as well. Different name for it, and it's kind of has a mint and oregano kind of marjoram kind of flavor. It's really nice. I was reminded of it when I went to Italy because it kind of grows everywhere and you kind of smell it and the, you know, when there's a breeze. And it's really nice with like mushrooms. It's classically used with artichokes there. So it's just really nice to have, I feel like, in your garden, this mint.
And this is a perennial.
Yes.
This calamint, that I think it's a hardy to zone 5 perennial, and it kind of makes a good edger too. Like if you had an herb garden or something, you could kind of put this along the edge. And again, another bee and butterfly type of plant. So it's going to look good if you used it right, again, along the edges or something. You know, it could be a design choice as well as an edible choice, as well as a pollinator choice. So that's kind of great. And that it's perennial means, you know, you're not going to be having to replant it every year. And I think Uprising, do they have that as well?
They do.
Uh-huh.
Uprising does, yes.
Mentuchia. Okay, Mentuchia. Calamintha nepeta is its the Latin name. Okay. And then I think you had one that wasn't Italian at all. How uncharacteristic of you.
Yes. And I thought of one other one that was Italian.
Okay.
I should say really quick is Cardoon. And
oh yes, and
you know,
Brian and I think have done it. I think we did an interview about that. Brian from Uprising. I think we did an interview about that. Cardoon's an interesting plant. Yes, yes,
it is. And depending on where you are, I mean, I love cardoon to eat, but you know, it's a labor of love. So I usually am not working. I'm usually not eating it that often. But the plants grow very, very well where I live, and
yes.
So I just landscape with them, and they get huge. And you know, they come back every year. They're died back right now in my yard in the wintertime, but then they'll come back and grow enormous and just make really lovely landscape plants. And
yeah.
They, you know, they bloom, you know, just like a artichoke would when it opens up the purple, and they attract so many beneficial insects. They're just a really wonderful plant, I think.
Yeah. And so we have maybe 3 minutes left. So
okay.
One more plant, and then I want to ask you for some catalog quickly, sort of.
Sure. Yes. And
recommendations.
So tarragon is the other one. It's not a true tarragon. It's I think in a.
It's a marigold.
Yes.
It's a marigold. Yeah. Crazy.
So, like lovely, lovely flavor and beautiful little teeny like marigold type, you know, flowers. And I love plant. I used to grow it when I lived in Florida, and I was reminded of it when I was looking through these seed catalogs. I'm like, I have to plant that this year.
Right. So it's a marigold, but it's called Mexican tarragon.
Yes.
Tagetes lucida, I think it's species. Yeah. So that's a great one. So yeah, so I wanted to ask you, and again, in the transcript, I'll give links to where you can get all of these, where you can shop for all of these. But a couple we mentioned, you know, Uprising and Adaptive and High Mowing and Salerno. Do you have a couple of others that we should be paging through that we might not know?
Yes, there are so many. So I will just give some highlights. You know, Wild Garden Seed, of course, your friend.
Yes.
Frank Morton, my friend too. Wonderful, you know, for greens, for a lot of things. He's been working a lot with flowers. Flowers are a big thing, I feel like, right now with seed companies. There's the Underground Seed Company, which is a new company here in Oregon that has some interesting things. If you're looking for tomatoes, Fred Hempel has artisan seeds down in California. Really fantastic. Organic, open pollinated tomatoes. There's a new company called Plant Good Seed down in California.
Oh.
that has some really interesting things. Then I was thinking about ones that kind of specialize in different types of plants. And Grand Prismatic is out of Utah. He used to James used to work for Frank at Wild Garden Seed. He really specializes in plants that you can use for natural dyes.
Oh.
So, which is really cool, right? He does like indigo. He does like that butterfly plant that does that makes everything blue with the flower when you harvest it, it makes all the drinks blue, like your margaritas.
Oh.
And but he traveled down to Mexico and learned from some folks about like what plants to grow
Great.
for
Well, those
natural
are some
dyes.
great ones.
We have the cucumber shop, which I yes,
Yes.
the cucumber shop with a guy named Jay. With some really interesting cucumbers as well as immature melons that he sells interesting seed of.
Oh, some good
Sister
ones.
Seeds is a black and woman-owned company. It's new. She used to work with True Love Seeds. Also, they have seeds with cultural significance. And Sister Seeds focuses on like African and Afro Caribbean heirlooms.
Yeah. So maybe what I'll do is I'll get for the transcript, I'll get some more suggestions for you since we're basically out of time
Okay.
and include a list with links for everybody over on awaytogarden.com. Because this is great. I mean, that's what I want to do is I want to click around new places and learn about new things and just kind of expand my horizons. So thank you. That's great. So Elaine Selman of Oregon State and of the Culinary Breeding Network, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and good luck with everyone in their gardens.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Onward.
Yes.
Talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Margaret.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top quality spring blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy seed chopping meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.